just with what we're dealing with today in our society and stuff like that, and even daily struggles we may have, I felt like the devil was working against me today and yesterday, and or this week rather, trying to figure out how I could play this video for you. So I had my little laptop or little device there, a little pad, and of course I can't get it. I can't figure out how to get it from that to the TV. And then, well, I said, well, I'll bring my laptop. I said, I know I can do it that way. And I got here and the cord doesn't match up to the thing. So the nice video that I had for you does have an awesome voice sound. So that's all we'll be able to hear today. But it's, if you get a chance to actually look it up on YouTube, the video that goes with it is really good. And it's Carmen, We Need God Back in America Again. And so if you have not seen it, it's a really touching thing. And so I'm going to play it right now. Hope you can hear it. And I'm playing it from my phone here.
Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay, names synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, you need God in America again. Constitution. 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national morality apart from religious principle, and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again.
Thank you. you won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the word of God in schools. The only hope for America is Jesus.
Amen.
The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say we need God in America again. I know the only hope for America is Jesus.
I don't know about y'all, but I got chills.
Well, Sammy, that went right along with our Sunday school lesson today. What Carol called.
Oh, good. Well, I did get a, I don't know if you guys got this. I mean, it came to the church. Some of you might have received this magazine in the mail. And the first page here, it talks about the practical steps before you vote this year. Before you cast your ballot in November, or you can do it starting now. These three practical steps you should do to honor God and vote and fulfill your duty as a citizen. Pray. Ask for wisdom and discernment about the candidates and their issues. Plan. Make a plan to vote. Determine when you'll go. Find out the location of your polling place. And bring someone else. Let someone else vote also. Invite them to go with you. On November 8th, we as God's people must let our voices be heard. And this is part of Franklin Graham's tour, the Decision Tour 2016. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalms 9. And instead of standing this time, it's a pretty lengthy time. I'm going to just read it without you standing. Let's go into Psalms 9, 1 through 20. But that video was actually done more than 20 years ago. I got to meet Carmen's producer. We actually went out to eat at a Bob Evans, if you know what a Bob Evans is. So I got to meet him when I was at Charlotte at the Jubilate with Michael English. He's local. But we, I got to see him. And so anyway, that's when this was big. So this was more than 20 years ago. And how true is that same song today? And really, if you get a chance to go on YouTube, Carmen, We Need God in America Again, and it's actually, the video is just awesome. If you have it in your Bible, Psalms 9, 1 through 20. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. And he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell all of your praise in the gates, the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared by the work of his own hands. Meditation. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you today, and as we want to do what we can for our country, Lord, we know that voting you in, or allowing you back in our White House, or allowing you back in our offices, allowing you back in our homes, allowing you back in our churches and schools and everywhere, Lord, that you will prevail. That if we take you from the church house and spread you around to different places, Lord, we know that you will prevail. Lord, and that's the only way that we can do this. It's with you, not without you. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we see here, and I don't like to read a whole lot. I don't like to read a whole thing right here. But this is, it's a prayer for the Lord's judgment, righteous judgment that he has. And our nation fallen as fast as it is. This is something that David is writing about the judgments there. So what's the biggest problem we have in our country today? Economy. It's slightly decreasing from 2015. We have actually gone down. Our bathrooms, we don't know which one to use. It's been a problem. It's been a disgrace in the Charlotte area. And has been a disgrace for our whole North Carolina. But I'll stand up for Pat McCrory and the fact that he has stood strong in his beliefs and the fact that that is not something we would compromise on. The unemployment rate is rising from 2015. And even in South Carolina, it's even more. We have different scandals going on in Washington today. Many of that has not changed. We've seen it for many years. But it's still happening. The jihadist attacks. We have different attacks with ISIS and all kinds of terrorist groups that are being in our country that's making us feel unsafe when you go somewhere. It's sad to go somewhere and judge somebody by what they're wearing, but you don't ever know. It's sad to go somewhere and feel uncomfortable when one of a person of a different culture walks in and you feel scared. It's just what it is. We have kneeling during our national anthem. Let me tell y'all something. If you don't know a lot about sports or whatever, I'm just going to tell you that the Dallas Cowboys owner told his players that if he or she knelt during the national anthem, that they would no longer be on his team, that they were players and they were performers, and that he paid them so he would not have them disrespecting our country. Now look, I don't totally agree with everything that he does, but I agreed with him on that, and I don't know why the other owners in the NFL haven't stood up for that. Well, guess what? Now that you know, they're supposed to be the big brothers, if you will. Now you've got different high schools and colleges wanting to try to do the same thing. You say, well, that's just the NFL. It don't happen around here. At Southwest High School Friday night, one of the referees took a knee. If I was that principal, I would have called that game off before I'd have let that referee do my game. I saw it on Facebook. They had several different posts. They're actually going Monday to recommend that he not be a referee no more, or at least not for their school. That's crazy that we have it in our own backyards, that people are disrespecting our flag, our country, and what it's done and what it's what it can do, and yet we're the ones at fault. Our biggest problem could be found in Jesus' parable in Luke 19, in the parable of the minus, if I'm saying that right. It's similar to a three-month salary. You see, in Luke 19, 11 and 14, it says that now as they heard these things, he spoke of another parable. Jesus did because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him. We will not have this man to reign over us. So some of them were mad that he had told them to do this. And then if you go on and read further, you'll see that some did things with it and some didn't. And so that's the problem. And if you think about how Jesus has given us talent or tools, and then we go out and we don't use them. Like we go out and we don't want to do anything. We don't want to prosper with anything that we have. We don't want to go out and share the word. We don't want to go out and see any of our people do good. It's like we say, I'm praying for you. You probably ain't said but one prayer, if even that, when you reply back on Facebook or you talk to them, said, I'm praying for you. How many really stop and say that prayer? Now, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, think about that for a minute. How many times did you really care for that person? Some of the country's top positions are shaking their fist at Jesus and denying him, just as they said that they did before the person that the kingdom, the nobleman that gave the minus, and so they didn't want. And what Jesus was showing is that he's given all this to us. You know, Jesus used parables so we could understand what he meant. He uses a lot of parables. It's kind of like our lessons, if you will. He's trying to show them that we're given this type of information, like he's given us this word. He's given us things that we need to go off of, basically. And it's saying that we should go out, but yet some of our leaders and some of our people in our country today are still saying, I don't care who Jesus is. They're just shaking their fist at him, said, he's not going to rule us. You see, America needs God, plain and simple. There's no way to put that any plainer. We have, as the song talked about, we've taken him out of our schools. And that's been over 20 years ago. It's been longer than that. They've been trying. You know, you can't hardly say anything to do with God in the schools today. Almost every workplace has said that we can't do stuff like that anymore unless it's privately owned, saying that we got to make sure we don't offend nobody. Well, I don't want anybody out there to go lose their jobs, but I'm tired of not offending somebody. Our problem is we need to go out and offend somebody so they'll learn what Jesus Christ has done for us or what he can do. What we can do as Christians, we can vote. You know, early voting just started. And there are approximately 83% of Americans today that claim to be Christians. 83%. I want to tell you, in reality, I think that number's lower. The number was about 95% in 1950. So in 65 years, 66 years, it's only gone down by about 12%. But you see how things are going on. Those of you that remember 1950, I was nowhere to be thought of. But those of you that remember 1950... know that it's totally different from today. The gift of voting is in our Constitution, and this is protected by our soldiers every day. We need to give thanks to our servicemen and women that go out and do the things. We don't understand why sometimes they say they want to go into that, but they willingly do that. No, there's not a draft anymore, so nobody didn't go hold their hand or anything. It's just something that some people feel like they need to serve our country. Hats off to them. I didn't choose that. My dad did through the National Guard. He did his 20 years, and luckily that was part of the time when they didn't really use them as much as now, because shortly after he got out, they were deployed all the time. Even our local Wallace unit or Bergall, all these groups have been deployed now. All these groups have been, Warsaw, all the groups around us have been in battle now. We got a chance to go to Arlington Cemetery and see some of the graves, obviously, but we got to see the changing of the wreaths, got to meet the Prime Minister, not meet, but see Prime Minister of Hungary as he put the wreath on display, if you will. But that was just an awesome thing, how they stand guard over the tomb of the unknown soldier. And it just makes you feel proud to be in America when you go there and you see the things. And even when you go to Washington, D.C., as we just did, I mean, you still feel proud. You know there's corruptness everywhere, but you still feel proud of what your country has done and some of the achievements that we have done. It's just amazing to see some of those things they have there with those museums and everything. It's really great to see that. But how can we help our country? Number one, keep giving glory to God. You see, that's what King David was doing in verse 1 through 5, giving glory to God. And in verse 1 and 2, in Psalms here, he was talking about, let me get back to it. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. David was praising God, the Most High God. He was praising the Lord, not just with his lips, but with his whole heart. You see, he didn't half-tail go into it, if you know what I'm talking about. We can sing praise to the Lord. We can worship him. We can adore him. We can exalt him. And we can give him honor and glory and our thanks. David's worship was intentional. So we need to be like David. It doesn't need to be an accidental thing or, oh, I just showed up, so let's start worshiping now. Come with the mindset that that's what you're going to do is worship God when you come into church. Go in the mindset that you're going to worship God when you're at your home and that you're going to love him and let him guide you and direct you every day. Not that you're going to come to church on Sunday or on Wednesday and that's it, that you forget about him. Because, see, that's what's wrong with our world today is that we forgot him. We've left him in the church house. We come and we do good in the church house. And then when we leave, we don't want to do anything else. That's why it's really big for our politicians that if they're going to go out there, they ain't got to quit loving God just to be a politician. They can still go out there and protect the beliefs that they have. They might be overturned. Well, that's because what's going on in our world today, but that's all right. They still need to fight for what they believe in and not give in to our world today. We got to put him on our busy schedules. Everybody's got a busy schedule. We're always doing something. Even if you're retired, you got more to do now than you ever had to do. Mom and Dad said, I don't know how they ever do anything because they're always tied up with doing something else now that they're both retired. We've got to put him on our busy schedules. We must take time to worship the Lord, thank the Lord, and give him glory. We have to do it every day. We can't forget about him. We can't go along and just think that it's okay to not give him thanks in the morning or give him thanks for that day. And yes, Christians, we still face giants just like David did in his life. We have giants we face every single day. We never know what's going to happen, but we have to remain faithful. Putting God back in America is going to be hard. It's going to be one of those giants, but there's no reason why we can't do it as Christians. that right here just says that we have more Christians out there than we do the other parties or other, other religions. So why can't we do it? It's because we're scared. We've allowed lobbyists to run our country. Early settlers knew to keep giving glory to God because he was giving us every good thing we would ever have. Samuel Adams was often called the father of the revolution, and at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, he declared, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." You see, our founding fathers worshiped God. They wrote our Constitution and Declaration of Independence and all that with God in mind. Everything we've done for several hundred years has been about God, and all of a sudden we have a couple decades now that we want to pull him out of everything. Second thing we need to do is speak up about our Savior. David did this in verse 6 through 12, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. But what can we say about the Lord? He is our righteous judge. God's enemies may seem strong, but God is infinitely stronger. That no matter how strong we think that our enemy is, that God can help us prevail over all of that. Just when we think things are going bad or we're not able to do anything with that, you need to continue to have faith because God is going to help you overcome that situation. God is going to help you overcome that. He may bring somebody else in your life that's going to help be a prayer warrior for you. Christians should say, "The Lord is our refuge, our high place of safety." There's a story I have here of Corrie ten Boom. She was one of the Christian heroes from World War II. Corrie and her family were sent to concentration camp for helping Jews escape the murderous Nazis. Carrie later wrote, "Once I stood with my back against the wall and my hands spread out as if I tried to push away the walls that were closing in on me. I was dead scared. I cried out, 'Lord, I'm not strong enough to endure this. I don't have the faith.' It was then that God spoke to Corrie in an unusual way. She noticed an ant on the floor. The moment that ant felt the water on the floor, he ran straight back into his tiny hole in the wall. Corrie said, 'That was if the Lord said to me, what about that ant? He didn't stop and look at the wet floor or his weak feet. He went straight to his hiding place.' Corrie, don't look at your faith. It is weak. I am your hiding place. And you can come running to me just like that ant disappeared into the wall, the hole in the wall." You see, Corrie found her hiding place in God, and we can too. What can we say about our Lord? He is our refuge. Could you imagine being in a situation like that? I remember at school we had someone that come and talk to us about being a part of that time over in Germany. One of our, someone I went to school with had a descendant that was German, and they came over. They're now living here, and they were able to tell us about some of that situation, and we didn't get a chance to go to the Holocaust, but could you imagine what is going on in all that time? What would you do if you felt like you were on the end of your rope here? Would you trust in God? That's one of the most important things we ever do in life, the things David stressed in verse 10, seek the Lord. Know the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Number 3, take your troubles to the Lord. King David certainly had many troubles in his life, but in verse 12, David knew that the Lord remembers his people. And he does not forget the cry of the humble. If you cry out to him with sincerity, then he hears you. We see a lot of problems in David's prayer, but we also see a lot of praise. He was in trouble, but he had already been touched by God. Notice that David asked for mercy in verse 13, and he asked for victory in verse 19. We got to do both. Lift up your prayers to the Lord. You will never be sorry for taking your troubles to the Lord. It will make a difference in your life. You can't keep holding on to it. I have spoke that many times. There are so many things in our life that just bog us down. We can't keep worrying about it. We have to take it to the Lord. Always remember, or the last thing is always remember our Redeemer. We see the importance of this truth back up in verse 17 where David said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." You see, I don't want the United States to be a nation that has forgotten God. We need to put him back in everything we do. We need to force him into anything we do and even have that little slide in there if somebody doesn't want to put him in there. We need to be there. And we need to be a part, and we need to show that we're adamant about getting this done. We're not just going to let it fall to the wayside that we can't get him back in things. You ever get invited to go and be a part of something? Bring God with you. Don't leave him at home. Remembering God will always make the difference. And for us in the United States, that means remembering our roots. You see, there's a lot of things that have occurred, and everything that you have heard or everything in our history has something to do with God. You see, God was the ultimate person that they looked up to, the ultimate being that they knew was a part of them, that they had in their souls and in their minds and everything they did. You see, but our history books today are trying to take all that out. The history books today, about every 4 or 5 years, they get a new one. And it's all being rewritten where the things about God have been taken out. In 1954... Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren said that the history of a country and its documents exhibit the same objective, a Christian land governed by Christian principles. Our founding fathers, George Washington, wrote, "You do well to learn above all the religion of Jesus Christ." Charles Carroll, signer of the Declaration, wrote, "On the mercy of my Redeemer, I rely for salvation on his merits, not on the works I have done in obedience to his precepts." Jacob Broome, signer of the Constitution, wrote these words to his son, "Don't forget to be a Christian. I have said much to you on this head, and I hope an indelible impression is made." And our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, "My hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ." You see, remembering God always makes a difference. He has not forgotten us, and we should not forget him. In conclusion here, there's no doubt that America is in big trouble on many different levels, many different positions. There are some things we do. Godly people, we should vote. We should be our part. We should help to decide what this nation is going to do. Don't get mad about who's running for office. We still have to vote God back in this, in our politics and in our discussions. We have to make sure that we have someone there that is going to believe in the Word. We have to have someone there that doesn't say that it's okay to abort. You see, we have to, with this election, we also have to elect our Supreme Justices, Chief Justice. And so what I'm saying about that is that we need to make sure that a godly person is going to be in office. A godly person is going to appoint those because they will hold office for 30 years. You don't think that ain't going to make an effect on us? One candidate said, now none of them, and all the articles that I've read, and none of them are the best example that the church really should follow. But one has stated that that Roe versus Wade would be the ultimate deciding factor of who is put in office. The other says that'll be one reason that he doesn't put them in office. Our four things here today: give glory to God, speak up about our Savior, take our troubles to the Lord, and always remember our Redeemer. Let us pray. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity today, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, I just pray today as we go, and we need to put God, we need to put you back in everything we do. Lord, I just pray today that we can put you back in America, that we can put you at the forefront of everything we do as our founding fathers did. Lord, I just pray that we do not forget you as you have not forgotten us. Lord, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what. I just pray today that our country that has left you, you will allow us back in. Lord, I just pray that we allow you back in all the things that they have taken you out of. Lord, I just pray that they don't see you knocking at the door. Lord, just pray today that we as a nation will come together as one. As we've seen in the efforts of Matthew, how in the different areas, Lord, we come together. It doesn't matter what religion, what race, what political standing we had, what standing in our community we had, Lord, but we all came together as one to help one another. And I pray that that's what our nation does. That I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, because I don't like either party. I'm not saying that I'm a party person, but I'm a people person, and I'm voting you back into our world. I'm voting you back into our country, Lord. I just pray that all of you today, as you go and vote this next week, Lord, and the next coming weeks, if you vote early or if you vote during the election, Lord, that we put you back in office, and that's what I ask today. Lord, we just pray for the ones here today. I pray for the ones to go out and spread your word, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.